Hello and welcome to the Emmy Awards. I'm your host, Emmy Cardinale, and this is my podcast where I talk about what I've been watching or rewatching once a week. If this is the first episode of mine that you stumbled upon and you enjoy it, please feel free to follow me wherever you listen to podcasts so you can get notified when I upload a new episode. This episode is going to be kind of just a hodgepodge, my thoughts on a few shows that I've been watching / rewatching lately. And timestamps will be in the description, so feel free to hop around. I think that the next show that I'm going to cover in depth, I don't really think that there's anything, like, none of my new shows are going to be airing in the fall. Like, The Bachelor doesn't come back until January. The Golden Bachelorette's, like, almost over, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit in this episode, but, like, I don't have any show coming up that I can think of that I really want to recap in depth. Like, I do. And I prefer those episodes. Like, these are fun where I'm just kind of rambling about the shows I've been watching. But I really like the structured episodes because I feel like I feel like those are some of my best. Like, I feel like I thrive better when I, like, take detailed notes and I recap an episode and then I share my thoughts throughout the episode. So I've decided my next show that I'm going to recap is a throwback show. It's not going to be a show that's airing in real time. I'm going to recap Bachelor Pad. I've never seen it. I believe I have seen, like, maybe half of the first episode of season one. I did start it once, but I have not seen Bachelor Pad all the way through. But my sister started watching it and she was like, Emmy, this would be really interesting to cover. And I think I really want to do that because I think it would be really interesting to, like, I was going to say revisit, but I've never watched it. But just, I guess, talk about, like, a different era of Bachelor Nation. And I think Bachelor Pad 2 is such a fascinating show because it deviates so much from, like, the narrative that we are sold right now in The Bachelor, which is, like, you have to be here for the right reasons, like, right reasons this, right reasons that, any ulterior motive, any motive besides this person here is the person I'm gonna marry. You is, like, portrayed poorly on the show. Like, you are a villain if you talk about Instagram, if you talk about it as a show. And I think Bachelor Pad is so interesting because it's literally they're competing for money. So it's just such a different tonal show. And I think, like, I don't know, I'm excited. I did, like, restart because I have seen, like, a little bit of episode one. I did watch, like, the first 20 minutes of the episode. I paused because I needed to cook myself dinner and I wanted to pay attention, but that's what I'm going to cover next. I don't know yet, like, how I'm going to do that. Probably a few episodes a week. I'm going to watch the episodes and take notes, and then for a few weeks. I'm not going to do it all at once. Sorry, I had to step away for a second because one of my foster kittens knocked over a flower pot I had and it broke. In the past I've done, like, deep dives on, like, entire seasons, and I go episode by episode. Sometimes I just do seasons in review. I don't want to do that just because I miss the feeling. I miss doing, like, week by week recaps, and even though it's an old show, I want to do something similar. So I don't know how many episodes there are per season, but I'm going to look and I'm going to I'm going to figure out how many episodes there are, how many I want to do per week. And then the next few weeks of this podcast will be dedicated to recapping and sharing my thoughts and also just talking about Bachelor Pad in the context of the history of Bachelor Nation and, like, how the spinoffs have kind of, like, I don't know, I'm just excited to talk about it, not just for the content itself, but in context of, like, my perception of the Bachelor franchise and ways I think it's evolved poorly. I'm not making any sense, sorry. But yeah, I'm just excited to talk about it. And that's the plan. So the next show that I'm going to be recapping, like, in depth week by week is going to be Bachelor Pad. I'm going to start with season one. Maybe if I like it, I'll do season two. And feel free to follow along and watch or listen to my thoughts. If not, you know what? My sister will listen and she's the only audience I really need. So sorry if there's a lot of pausing or if the sound changes a little bit. I'm unfortunately already having to pause a lot. I'm fostering kittens. I have four, and they just cause a lot of chaos. So, and I'd been fostering them for a little bit now, but they were in my bathroom because they were being quarantined, and now they're free, and they cause a lot of trouble. Anyways, so moving on to the first show that I want to talk about is the Love is Blind Season 7 reunion. My last episode was primarily about Love is Blind Season 7, and I had quite a lot of thoughts on the reunion. I watch a lot of reality TV. Most have reunions. And I have to say, I think Love is Blind has consistently shitty reunions for a reason that I'm not sure that they can fix. Because I think one of the biggest issues of the Love is Blind reunions and just the way the show is produced and released and everything, and I'm like so sure that I've said this before about other seasons of Love is Blind. The show is filmed like a year before it airs. And while that is not like unusual for a lot of shows, and honestly, maybe even some competitive reality TV shows, I don't know enough about like, none of the reality shows that I watch like have that long of a turnaround. And so like I don't know, like The Bachelor, it's like maybe a few months. The Bachelor is like normally recorded in the fall and then it airs like in January. The Bachelorette has an even faster turnaround. Like they record like March and it comes out in like May, although last few seasons has come out in July. But my point is most of the reality, even like the Bravo shows, they like record in like the summer and then they come out the next spring. Love is Blind records fall and then they a whole like the next fall. Like literally the Love is Blind couples from this past season, they got married in October of 2023. So by the time it finished airing, it'd been a year. And by the time it started airing, it'd been a little bit less than a year. But it's just like there's so much turnaround that there's very little to talk about because most of the things have been resolved and there's so much that happens in the year post-filming that you can't really jam in, nor is it, like, it's just, and I think generally a big structural issue of Love is Blind, and I just don't know how they could fix this, is that so much happens off camera by nature of the show, because it's like you live together and they're not recording 24/7, so there's just so much that you don't get as a viewer that I just, like, I don't know. Do I think that there are changes, like specific issues I had with this reunion that I do think are fixable and are not just like you should have a faster turnaround? I think bringing in all the people they did was kind of irrelevant. I'm sorry. Like maybe bring in like one or two people from the show, like one successful couple, Bliss and I don't remember his name. That makes sense, okay? They have the first Love is Blind baby, bring them on, have them talk about their baby, have them, they're a success story. What is the point of bringing Jessica on? Like, peace and love. It wasted so much time. I don't understand the purpose. Like, I really think Love is Blind needs to figure out how it formats reunions. They clearly do not know what the fuck they're doing. And it's just annoying to me personally. So I think that is probably my biggest issue. If you hear background noise, I'm really, really sorry. I live in a studio apartment. I'm fostering 4 kittens. There is only so much I can do. I do think that those are things that I would recommend they fix for the next season. Like, we don't need all of these because there's so many couples and so many not like people that don't end up together on Love is Blind that it's like, I like AD. I have nothing against AD. I actually really like her. But why is she there? I think you should only bring out like the success stories. Like, the thing about like The Bachelor even is like, yes, they bring people out even sometimes who are not success stories, but a lot of like the fixtures that they bring on, even if they ended up with a non-Bachelor Nation person, which is honestly like not that frequent. They're like fixtures in other ways, like because there are so many spinoffs. It's like Love is Blind. It's had like 7 seasons in 5 years on the fifth year anniversary is when season 8 is going to come out. So like 8 seasons in 5 years. It just feels a little odd. How do you pick the people? What is the purpose? I also think it's very disjointed. Like they will hop around. They'll like be talking about like, I think they should either do it chronologically, like talk about the pods and then stuff that happened in Mexico, couples that I think they should do it chronologically, or they should go couple by couple, because they'll like talk to one couple, and maybe it's the way it's edited, maybe this doesn't actually happen, but they'll talk to like one couple about something that like happened in Mexico, and then they'll jump to another couple about like their wedding, and then they'll jump back to like the first couple about like something that happened. Like it's just very disorganized, and like I really take issue. Like they need to fix their reunions, because it's not interesting to watch. I obviously had a lot of issues with the fact that Tyler got off scot-free, and I do genuinely believe Love is Blind will go much harder on people who are not success stories, quote unquote. They will really, really go hard on somebody for a transgression if they left single, because they didn't, not only did they do something wrong, but they're not proof that the process works, that the show forms connections. Tyler and Ashley, despite, like, if Tyler had not ended up with Ashley, if Ashley had had a big empowering speech at the wedding and she was like, I'm not going to marry somebody who lies to me, or even if they had broken up like Monica and Steven, Tyler lying about his children and the extent that he was involved in these children's lives, they would have gone much harder on him. In my opinion, I think the fact that he was with Ashley like really got him off scot-free. And I posted a TikTok about this, and somebody in the comments was like, I don't know why everybody cares so much. And like, the thing is, do I care in that like this is gonna keep me up at night and like I'm like, no, when the show's over now, I'm not gonna keep up with him or Ashley. I wish the children the best. It's not gonna keep me up at night. I care because I'm watching them on my TV screen, and I don't like it bothers me because for me personally, I'm not gonna speak for every single human being who took issue with Tyler and the way he approached the conversation with the children. The reason it bothers me personally is because I think that the way he handled it was a very fucked up way to, like, the thing is, these children, whether the way he talks about it now, he was just a friend stepping up for another friend, and it was a difficult situation to navigate because she was now a single mother and he wanted to be a role in their lives, whatever. Even if that was the extent of it, like even if you weren't in these children's lives actively every day as their father, which I find hard to believe because you owe child support and the courts don't just, like if you are a donor, even if you were a known donor, donors have protections legally, so they can't like owe child support. Like you enter into an agreement where it's like this donor does not have legal rights to the children. So there are protections for known donors. It's not like if you are biologically related to a child, automatically you owe child support, especially if it's like a donor situation. The wife of the mother of the children was like on the birth certificate for the first child. Like he took on legal responsibility after the fact. Like even the thing is, if he genuinely was not in their lives every day, like as their father, he was just there like being a friend, I don't know. At the end of the day, these children lost that relationship with like the father figure they had in their lives. And not only do they have to deal with that, he handled it horribly every step of the way. Like if you genuinely left the show and you're like, shit, I'm starting this new life, and these children, I wanted to help, but they're not my children, or whatever the fuck, like, I don't know. Have a conversation with the mother of the children and be like, look, I don't know. Like, then pay child support. You took on this responsibility and then you abandoned it, either for a show or for a woman who, I just cannot imagine, and I said this last week, I cannot imagine having children, actively parenting those children for most of their lives, if not all of their lives. And than just leaving them. Even if I donated eggs for a gay couple in who were my friends, and I donated my eggs, but I stayed in their lives so that the child could have some kind of biological, could have, because, you know, that's important in donor conception, is I think known donors are very important. And if I were to ever go that route and use a donor, I would use a known donor, because I think children have the right to have contact with half of their genetic makeup, so they can have their, like, medical history, genetic mirroring, all of that. Like, if I was in that position and I donated my eggs and a gay couple that I knew had a child with my ex, and then they broke up, and I, because I was a friend, was there actively in those children's lives, even if I genuinely was like, I am not their mother, I could not imagine, like, abandoning that relationship and, like completely discarding it. I think that is a fucked up thing to do. And, like, if people don't want to care about that, that's fine. I'm personally, I find that icky, and I find it really fucked up, because, like, the thing is, it's like, people are like, why is everybody so invested? Because they went on a show. He went on a show and he made this our business. And you know how he could have avoided that? By having a conversation. Like, it's so fucked up, because he's like, they didn't sign up to be involved. You did that. You did that by like abandoning that relationship. If you had spoken to the woman, to the mother of the children before you went on the show, and you had said, look, I do not want them involved at all. That's not fair to them. I'm not going to talk about them on TV, but we maintain this relationship. I don't know. Have had some kind of conversation where after the fact he was like, look, I love the children. I want to be there for you. I got in over my head, blah, 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 blah. Like, their explanation now. If he said that and then he was like, it seems like he just completely ghosted them, abandoned them, discarded them. I take issue with that. And I take issue with that because, unfortunately, they made it by business. They made it by business by talking about it on TV. And now these poor children, when they grow up, they not only lost this relationship, whether it was a father figure or just, like, an important figure in their lives frequently, who, again, is, like, has legal responsibilities to these children. Not only did they lose that relationship, but now it's national, like, international news, because it was on a fucking TV show. I'm sorry. I'm going to be angry about that, and I'll die on that hill. And I love Taylor and Garrett. Like, I mean, Garrett, I was rooting for them because I love Taylor, and, like, he seemed sweet. And they seem good. But it did rub me a little bit the wrong way how much they stuck by Ashley and Tyler. But whatever. Whatever. They probably, I think he's just a good liar and they believe him. But I take issue with that. I'm sorry, I take issue with that, because I don't think we should abandon children. Like, they made it by business when they went on TV. Do I think that reality TV stars and or people who go on reality TV give up their right to privacy and everything they do is my business? And, like, no, I really don't. Like, I really don't. And now the show's over, I'm never going to think about them again. But it was airing, and it was an active part of the product that I was consuming as a viewer. And I was being lied to by this man on the screen. And even in the reunion, I was being lied to by these people and them downplaying what this man did, which was abandon his children. If you don't want to actively parent the children that you were legally responsible for, at least pay child support. Like, if you were not paying child support or actively, like, involved in their lives, then I think that's shitty. And I'm going to think that's shitty. And that is where I stand. And you know what? I stand by that. I don't care. Like, the thing is, I don't care about, like, an unconventional dynamic. That wouldn't bother me at all. I literally would not care at all. I think known donors and, like, donor conception, I think that is, like, a very good route to go. Like, known donation, because it gives children access to half of their genetic history. Like, I think that's very important. I would genuinely not care at all, even if he was a known donor and actively involved and was just, like that doesn't bother me at all. I'm not judging at all. And I think that's great for the children. The reason I'm angry is because everything he's done is not great for the children. It's actually quite shitty for the children. And I feel bad for them, and also for the mother who was friends with Tyler and kind of blindsided. Like, that is my issue, is the way he's handled all of this. And I stand by that. Taylor and Garrett, what do I have to say about them? Was I a little bit disappointed that they didn't actually end up moving to San Francisco and he backed out? Yeah. She seems good and she seems happy and, like, she does work in D.C. and I think they're gonna be fine, but, like, it would have been cool if they moved to California. Anyways, I don't know. I don't have much to say on them. I feel like I don't have much to say about much because we really didn't get much. We didn't get any new information. There weren't that, like, even Steven and Monica, like, that was a non thing. I don't know. They really need to fix their reunions because even it's hard for me to, in my brain, like, remember what they talked about in what order, because they just jumped all over the place. And, like, the addressing of the people who were there too was all over the place. It's like occasionally, like, they would, like, talk to the couples of season 7 and then they would talk to the old couples and then they would jump back to the couples. It was very unorganized, and this is like a consistent thing. They really need to fix their reunions. And I also think maybe it's not possible with the way Netflix produces these shows, but I really think that these kind of dating shows would benefit greatly by some kind of faster turnaround. It's just like a year passes and, like, any drama, so much has happened in the time since. A lot of these couples, if they break up, they remain in contact. They try dating after the show. There's so much that happens in the year that passes between the end of filming and airing that it's just, like, you can't capture it all. And then not only can you not, like, really cover it all, they really don't even attempt to. And then there's all this unnecessary filler. Also, can I just say, maybe other people don't agree with this, but I really don't think it's necessary in this day and age with streaming and with social media where, like, most people, maybe not most people, but a lot of people, like, watch all at once and they, like, watch clips and they keep up with the dialogue of the show. I really don't think you need to do, like, those recaps or, like, a look back at their love story, look back at this. It's like, we just watched this. Talk about it. Like, that's personally my opinion. But I don't know. I just think they need to fix their reunions. Like, something is very wrong with the Love is Blind reunion format. I really think they should fix it. Was it the worst reunion they've had? No. Was it good? No. But am I surprised? Also, not really at all. No. Moving on. What other show do I want to talk about? I very briefly want to talk about The Golden Bachelorette just because I have been kind of disappointed by the season of The Golden Bachelorette. I was really excited. Joan is from my hometown. Maybe not my hometown, but she's from Rockville. That's, like, her hometown. I'm right next to Rockville, but, like, that's still the DMV. That's still, like, my area of Maryland, you know? Love Rockville. And I was excited. I really was. I was hopeful. The first, like, Golden Bachelor was really, really good. And this season has personally, for me, fallen a little bit flat. Like, I haven't found myself being able to get that invested or, like, really root for many. Like, it's just been a little bit lackluster. And maybe it's something about the fact that Gary and Teresa didn't last. Like, I don't know. It's just hard. And I can't quite put my finger on it. It's just been a little bit less engaging for me than The Golden Bachelor was. And I really just, like, I'm not invested. Like, I feel like whoever she ends up with, I don't have hopes that it's going to last very long. None of her finalists live near her. And, like, maybe that won't be an issue for them. But, like, that was the nail in the coffin for Teresa and Jerry. So I'm a little pessimistic. Like, I really just don't feel like The Golden Bachelorette. And I wonder, I don't know, they haven't announced if they're going to do, like, a Golden Bachelor second season, but I feel like they will. I do have hope that that one will be a little bit better. I think Bachelor seasons, at least for me, tend to be more interesting because as good, as important as a lead is, a cast really carries a season of the Bachelor franchise. And I think the women tend to be more interesting to watch. Maybe it's just, maybe that's my opinion. I just think the women are more interesting to watch. So I tend to enjoy Bachelor seasons more than Bachelorette. So maybe that's it. Maybe the old men aren't resonating with me. I'm just really not super engaged. I do, the last couple episodes I've watched at a sports bar, my favorite Bachelor podcast does watch parties, and that's super fun. Like, I'm enjoying the watching, the viewing experience because of that. But I will say I'm just like not super engaged with the arc of the season. And I will say the first couple episodes, I really enjoyed, like the house dynamics were like interesting. It just kind of got a little boring for me personally, and I just haven't been able to really get super engaged again. I'm enjoying it, but it's just not hitting for me. And I don't think this is a unique opinion. I know ratings aren't that great. I just, like, I don't know. My sister and I were talking about it, and she said something that I think is very poignant. Maybe that's too dramatic of a word, but it made sense to me. She said that it seemed like they wanted to have a female lead who was like Gary, and they just kind of ended up, it kind of ended up being like they were trying to take the format from The Golden Bachelor and then do it again, like Widow, this time Widow, last time it was Widower, like tries to find a second love of their life. That might be part of it. Like, I think they were trying too hard to create a narrative and it ended up like not being as interesting. I also just, the men have really fallen flat. Poor Joan. I just like, I don't know. I'm like not really invested either way, but I do wish Joan the best. Like, I have nothing against her. It's really not been anything personal, but that was really all I wanted to say about The Golden Bachelorette. I'll share my thoughts when it's like fully over. Moving on. I've been rewatching a few shows and I want to talk about those next. The first one I want to talk about is How I Met Your Mother. Now, How I Met Your Mother is not a show that I would personally, like, if it was airing right now, want to watch, just because the amount of like unnecessarily offensive jokes just don't, like, they add nothing for me. Like, I don't find them funny, and it's just kind of like what, like, just, you're just randomly throwing in transphobia every few episodes. It's like really not necessary for me personally. Like, I really don't, like, it's not funny to me. It's not creative. So in that regard, it's not like if it was airing today, I would probably give up very quickly. But it holds a lot of nostalgic value for me. Also, Josh Radnor went to my college, and so I have a soft spot for Josh Radnor. He did make one of my favorite movies of all time. It's called Liberal Arts, and it was filmed at my college campus. And fun fact, fun little Emmy lore, I watched that movie when I was like 13 14, and like I literally have it purchased on my YouTube account, I think from like 2013, maybe 2014. My sister purchased it, actually. She had seen the trailer and she wanted to watch it, and then I watched it and I really liked it and I loved that movie. I rewatched it a few times, and then years went by, I didn't think about that movie. I was deciding what college I wanted to go to, and I really, like, the college I ended up, that ended up becoming my top choice, like, dream college was Kenyon College. And after I had already, like, done my whole college thing, I decided I was going to apply early decision. I, like, figured out that Liberal Arts was filmed at Kenyon. And I was like, that's crazy. That's my invisible string, is me and Kenyon College. But anyway, so I do have a soft spot. But the reason I wanted to talk about How I Met Your Mother is not because of its offensive content. It's because I'm going to talk about the ending within the context of the entire show. So if you haven't seen it and you don't want a spoiler for the finale, please just skip this part of the episode. I really hated the finale when it aired. And I tried rewatching the season, the show, all the way through a few years ago. And I also really hated it then. And I think I still don't like it. But I feel like I saw a comment on a How I Met Your Mother TikTok. And somebody was like, the ending would have worked or made more sense if everything that was rushed into the final episode had like expanded over a season. And I agree. Like, I think that was one of my biggest frustrations, not even because I personally, in my, like, the way the people I ship, the couples that I don't like Ted and Robin. I really don't like that. I don't love the whole point of the show was that they were going to end up with that he was telling the story to his kids so he could date Robin. Like, I don't like the narrative. Like, I think that's an interesting concept, maybe, to some extent. But I feel like it doesn't feel like they had that in mind for all of this, all of the, and maybe they did. And now rewatching it too, I'm not at the finale yet, but I just started season 9. And I've just been thinking about the structure and the storytelling of How I Met Your Mother. And I think that is, like, my biggest issue, because I think they were trying, like, I don't know what they were trying to do, but it makes very little sense to me narratively, especially because the final season, like, all of season 9 takes place over one weekend, their wedding weekend, Barney and Robin's wedding weekend, leading up to him meeting the mother at the end of that wedding weekend when he's leaving the train station and she's leaving the train station, or they're leaving Far Hampton and they're taking the same train, or they're at the same train station, whatever. I don't understand. Like, the thing is, if it ended with him saying that's, like, maybe it would make sense, but then you do the whole, like, I don't know. It's just so annoying to me, because it's like you had a whole season with, like, a bunch of unnecessary minor plot lines about, like, stuff that happened in this wedding weekend. And some of it was important, obviously. Some of it wasn't, which is, like, you know, that's a sitcom. But if you're going to have, like, why have a whole season about a wedding just to have that couple get divorced 30 minutes into, like, a 2-hour finale or something? Like, it was so stupid. Like, that really bothers me. And while I don't personally, I still wouldn't like it as an ending, for the whole point of the show to be that he's telling the story because he actually is secretly in love with Robin and he wants to convince his kids to be with Robin and blah, blah, blah. I still hate that, honestly, personally. But I would hate it less if it was executed better. It's the execution that really gets me about How I Met Your Mother. I would still genuinely really hate it. The reason that I would hate it, even if it was executed a little bit better, is because I feel like the mother and Tracy, who I actually really, like, the mother, her name is Tracy, and we meet her in the final season, we get to know her a little bit more. It feels like the reason it bothers me, and the reason I find it kind of, like, annoying and frustrating and icky, that, because obviously we get to know Tracy and eventually we find out more about the character. But they literally created the show thinking the whole point of the show is actually that he wants to be with Robin. It feels, Robin, who we know, does not want children, does not want, like, that traditional family. It feels very much like Tracy, the mother in this narrative. She was just, like, a stepping stone. She was just what Ted needed to, like, get the life he wanted before he could move on to, like, the actual end game for him, which was Robin this whole time. Like, it feels like Tracy isn't, like, a full relationship he has. It feels like she's just something that gets him. And maybe that's mean, and maybe other people don't agree with that. That is just the way I feel. And honestly, I feel like that is partly compounded by, like, the whole Barney arc of it all. Like, that really bothers me. I think the Barney's character also really bothered me, because, like, the thing is, you want them to get divorced, that's fine. I don't understand the purpose of after the fact. Like, Barney is a character who is very flawed, and even though he grows and he has his ebbs and flows, he's a deeply flawed character. Like, would I want to be friends with him if he was a real person? No, but I appreciate his character, and I like the fact that he changed and he fell in love, and he, like watching, there's an episode in season 8 where he's engaged to Quinn, and, like, they break up over a prenup because he is trying to get her to sign a very ridiculous prenup, and she obviously doesn't want to, and they eventually break up because they realize they don't trust each other. And Then we flash forward to him talking about his wedding with Robin, and his boss is like, so are you going to sign a prenup? And he's like, no. Like, he just, the love he had for Robin was genuine. It was real. And it feels like they needed to diminish that love to make us want Robin and Barney, Robin and Ted to be together. Like, that's so unnecessary. And it honestly, not to get on this tangent because it's like a completely different show, but like somewhat similarly, although in my opinion worse, was Jane the Virgin. Jane the Virgin, originally Michael died. Sorry, spoiler. And then eventually she gets with Raphael and whatever. Then they bring Michael back just to like, he wasn't actually dead, to just prove the fact that it wasn't because Michael's dead. Like, it feels unnecessary. Like, why do you have to ruin? Why can't we live in a world? Why can't we exist in a storytelling narrative where the love Robin and Barney had was real? And that was, like, it makes it feel like they needed to, not only did they break up, but their entire relationship was bullshit because he is never actually going to look at anybody and be like, you are everything. And then he has a daughter with, again, an unnamed woman who is basically just a womb. She's not even a person. She's just like a womb that birthed a child for Barney to like become a good, like, it's annoying to me. It's annoying to me. It feels annoying to me. And I think that is just why it bothers me, because I think it's annoying to be like, I'm going to tell you the story about how you met your mother, but the whole motive, and like maybe they came up with that and thought it was like so cool and it was going to be like a bait and switch. But I honestly think that they should have like storyboarded it better, and maybe it just kept getting renewed and they were like, we need to extend this. Like, maybe they didn't think it was going to go on that long. It just feels, and maybe other people don't agree with this, I don't know. I'm not a How I Met Your Mother expert by any means. Like, I've rewatched the show a few times, but I haven't like watched every, like I wouldn't consider myself an expert where I could like really argue very detailed about like, here are the plot holes or things that didn't make sense. This is just like my emotion based off of like my initial dislike of the finale, and then followed up with a few viewings of the whole show with the finale in context. So again, I'm not like a How I Met Your Mother expert. I don't rewatch the show often just because the humor, I don't always find it enjoyable. I just really wanted to watch something that I had seen before, and also that I had very little, emotional connection to. I'm getting kind of angry, and I did say it was nostalgic, but I just like Gilmore Girls, for example. I love Gilmore Girls, and I rewatch that frequently, and I would, like, I do know a lot more about Gilmore Girls. Like, the opinions I have about Gilmore Girls, I can point to, like, this episode, this scene, like, argue my point in that regard in ways that I can't for How I Met Your Mother. But I wasn't in, I wanted to watch something that wasn't Gilmore Girls, because Gilmore Girls is more emotional for me. Like, I care more about the characters. How I Met Your Mother, I hate the way it ended, and I don't, like, not that I don't care about it. That sounds mean. I just have a lot of emotional investment in Gilmore Girls, and I relate to a lot of it personally. Like, it's just, it resonates more. Also, Gilmore Girls, the first three seasons, I used to, like, rewatch that, and then after, when Jess leaves, and then Rory, at her graduation, is like, I think I might have loved you, I literally would, like, stop watching after that, because I was like, I can't, this is too emotional. And so I've seen the first three seasons of Gilmore Girls a lot more than I've seen the last few. But like, now I've gotten to a point where like I get through the first three seasons, I power on. And then the college stuff is kind of like emotional for me, because I'm like, I graduated and I get nostalgic for college. So I just like, I wanted to watch something that wouldn't, obviously I'm gonna have feelings and opinions and thoughts, but like in a more critical way, like in a way where I can like think of it more critically and like narratively, and like I'm analyzing or critiquing a book or something like that, like in that regard, more than like something that's gonna remind me of personal memories or make me think of things. Like How I Met Your Mother genuinely doesn't resonate with me at all, because I've never lived in New York. Like the experiences they go through really are not similar to my life at all. Gilmore Girls is very like, it resonates with me in like a lot of storylines, so it's a little bit more emotionally involved for me to watch. How I Met Your Mother, it's nice because I've seen it, so I know what's going to happen. And also when I'm watching it and I'm like rewatching it and I'm thinking about like the narrative, it's like fun. It's like I'm reading a book and like annotating it and like for school. Like it's that kind of feeling versus like something that's going to make me feel a lot emotionally. So anyways, I don't even remember why I went on that tangent. I have no idea how I started that. I guess my point is that I don't rewatch it enough to really know like detail by detail. This is just kind of like my feelings. I'm just repeating myself, but I just like really, it feels like, and again, I do not know enough to be like, they definitely always, like throughout the seasons, they always had this in mind, but it just feels like there are some moments where I will say season 8, I do feel like it, at that point, it does feel like they were kind of like, okay, we know this is how we want it to end. We know, like as soon as, I think it's season 7, we start seeing like a little ways down the road and we find out that Barney's getting married and then eventually we find out he's marrying Robin. I think once they decided that and they were like, Ted is going to meet the mother because of Barney and Robin's wedding. Like, I think once they decided that, Robin and Barney, I do think watching it now, I do think that there were, especially in season 8, a lot of like obvious indications that like a main part of this story, a through line is his feelings for Robin. It just does genuinely feel like for a few seasons in between, like obviously in the beginning, his chasing Robin, his relationship with Robin, even Barney and Robin, like Robin is very, very, his relationship with Robin is very, very important. It feels like that kind of disappears for a few seasons. And then then again, in the later seasons, they kind of decided, okay, yeah, this is the ending. So we're going to start like laying little eggs. The execution is always going to bother me because I don't think it makes sense to follow a wedding for an entire season and then very quickly like rush through like the next like 10 years to get to the point where he is asking his children if he can date Robin. It's odd to me. Like genuinely, it doesn't make sense. But I will say I really liked season 9 when it was airing and all of, like I like season 9 because we meet Tracy, the mother, and we got to see her interaction with the other people in the gang. Like she meets Lily and then we find out that she met Barney and then we find out that like, and then she meets Marshall. Like she meets all of them and like it's great. Like I really like her character and getting to know her a bit more. It just again, like, oh God, I'm really always going to be annoyed by the execution. I think honestly, and maybe some people don't think it's a shitty premise, but I think it's an annoying shitty premise to be like How I Met Your Mother. But the whole point of telling you the story of How I Met Your Mother is to convince you that I want to date this friend of mine who could have never provided me what your mother did. Like it feels like Tracy is just kind of a means to an end. It doesn't feel like her relationship with Ted. I feel like they fleshed it out a little bit in season 9. I will say I really liked How I Met Your Father. Obviously, it's not by the same people, I don't think. Like I think the creators of the show were different. I really like How I Met Your Father because I think there were elements that I think the show, like improvements I think they made. Like, for example, she does meet the father on the pilot episode, but we just don't know who the father is. And like they get together later. So like, I don't know. I liked that detail because it's kind of like, it makes the storytelling make a little bit more sense because Ted's kind of like, obviously, we're following like these years of his life, but the How I Met Your Mother of it all kind of gets lost sometimes because it's just kind of Ted telling his children stories of his life. But then he tries to be like, this led me to this, which led me to meeting your mother. And it's like, yes, a lot of the small details did, but a lot of them are just like random stories. Where I liked that about How I Met Your Father, where it's like, this is like, I did tell you, but then it's like, I'm just telling you more stories about this time in my life before I got together with your father. I really liked that format. I also really liked that the child is, like, we don't see the child, which I obviously think they did because it was more diverse. So, like, the chance of the, it would reveal a lot more the ethnicity and race of the child, because if they were white, then you kind of narrowed it down, you know, if they weren't, also narrowed down. So I liked that because it kind of allowed them. I also think How I Met Your Mother, they had this idea of what they wanted the ending to be. And then many, many seasons happened and the story went in different directions. And then I think they were like, well, this is the original ending, and they had to, like, figure out a way to make it work. And again, I do think, which I didn't really totally pick up on, you know, the first couple of times that I watched the show. But I do think that there are, like, throughout the seasons, the later seasons, there are, like, hints and Easter eggs and things peppered through that are like, okay, it makes sense that this is to be, like, me and Robin should be together. I just, again, I feel like there was a point where I would really love to, like, be in the brains of the writers and be like, if you knew this was the ending the whole time, like, did you have that in mind the entire time? Or did you just kind of, like, let the story, because it feels like the story, and I personally, I don't write fiction. So I don't, like, I don't write screenplays, I don't write plays, I don't write books, I don't know. But I think this is something I learned during my time on my high school newspaper, is I tried very, like, some, and I appreciated this, and I feel like it's true for fiction, and I think about this a lot when I'm watching shows, is I do think, obviously, having, like, a general arc is good, but I feel like sometimes you need to let the story play out. Obviously, that's a lot more true for, like, a journalistic story, because you need to, like, you can't be like, okay, this is what's happening, because then you won't ask enough, you know, you need to investigate. You need to, like, actively ask questions and get the answers, not be like, this is what I think is happening, and then get quotes that confirm that. You know what I mean? Like, you need to figure, like, anyways, I'm not a journalist, but what am I talking about? But I think about this in fiction, because I think sometimes it feels like writers have an ending in mind, but then the story ends up unfolding a different way. And then instead of, like, I feel like sometimes you just need to let the characters take you where they take you. How could you write the entirety of How I Met Your Mother and then genuinely think that you should end it with Robin and Ted being together? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And again, it really just feels like that ends up reducing the mother and Tracy to, like, a period, just a chapter in Ted's life. Like, not Ted's great love, not, like, the mother. Like, the mother then just becomes she's not Tracy. She's just the mother of his children. Like, that's all she was. Because what he really wanted the entire time was to be with Robin. It feels weird to me. Maybe that's not what they intended, and that's not what they think. But that really just is, and again, maybe if it was better executed, it just feels weird. It feels weird. Like, I would kind of hate that. Both my parents are alive and kicking, God bless. But I would really hate, that would be odd to me. The children were also, like, not my age. But anyways, those are my thoughts on How I Met Your Mother. The thing is, How I Met Your Mother, it is a comforting show to watch. It is, like, easy TV. The offensive jokes aside, there is, like, good humor and, like, funny aspects. And I do enjoy the characters. Like, it's not a bad show. It's a good show. I enjoy watching it. Would I recommend it? I don't really know. But, like, the narrative premise does just bother me. And I think it's why it's not a show that I rewatch that frequently. Because it's like, I'm watching all of this for what? Like, that's the way it ends. But back on what I was saying, sorry, not to hop all around, like, this is the Love is Blind reunion, but back to what I was saying about, like, I feel like sometimes you need to let the characters play out. One of my biggest critiques of Gilmore Girls: A Year in the Life is that certain characters felt stilted and others didn't. And the reason the characters, specifically Lorelai and Rory, felt stilted was because Amy Sherman Palladino clearly had an ending she wanted for Lorelai and Rory. And then she didn't get to write those stories. She wasn't there for season 7. and they didn't get a season 8 where she wrote. And instead of, like, the other characters feel like time has passed. It feels like she let their stories progress, but it feels like Lorelai and Rory, she had very particular stories that she wanted to be the end for them. And she didn't get to write that. So, like, it's just weird to me because it's like, what do you mean? And not to go on this, because I wasn't even going to talk about Gilmore Girls. And I've, like, literally ranted about this a million times. But, like, what do you mean that in the last season, and obviously she didn't write that, but it's like, maybe even in season 6, like, I do know at the end of season 6, Lorelai was talking about how she, like, wanted another kid. Like, she was ready to have another kid with Luke. Like, I'm pretty sure. Like, I think she was... Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm misremembering. But I don't think so. I think I'm right. Because it was when she was still with Luke, and they obviously break up at the end of season 6. The point is, like, they literally... She was, like, ready to marry him. Like, she put off getting married because... Like, what do you mean that, like, 9 years have passed and they're not married? 9 years have passed and they never had, like, a productive conversation about a kid. So now you have to have a whole, like, surrogacy storyline because obviously Lorelai cannot carry a child at this age because 10 years have passed. Like, what do you mean? Like, that's so annoying. And Rory, I'm not saying that, like, at her age she couldn't be kind of, like, floundering in her career, but it didn't feel like it made sense. And, like, Logan and Rory's dynamic didn't make any sense. It would make a lot more sense if it was, like, immediately post-grad. They had obviously broken up, but, like, they were still kind of, you know, like, that's very, like, in your 20s, you know? It doesn't make any sense that Logan is, like, 10 years later, fine casually dating Rory when he broke up with her. And not even casually dating, like, they're hooking up while he's, like, engaged to somebody else. Like, he would, like, what do you mean he'd be fine? Like, that is the dynamic. It doesn't make any sense. She needed to write it that way so the ending of, like, Rory being pregnant would make more sense. Like, it just didn't hit the same. While Paris has, like, lived a whole life. She went to, like, you know what I mean? I just really think, and I've never been in those shoes. It must really suck to have characters you dedicate so much to and you love so dearly. And then because of contract negotiations, you don't get to work on the last season. And then you don't get a season after that and you don't get to conclude their stories the way you do. But I think you need to do the characters justice by, like, considering that time has passed, treating them like they are actual human beings, not like they're plot lines that you didn't get to fulfill, you know? Like, it doesn't make any sense. And I just feel like How I Met Your Mother, they had that idea originally, and then they just kind of, for a few seasons, really just wrote the characters and let the stories unfold in their own way. And then as they were wrapping up, they were like, we need to get back to this Ted and Robin thing. And it doesn't feel like it makes sense. And again, maybe with better execution, it wouldn't be so annoying. But unfortunately, the execution sucks because it's just simply stupid, in my opinion. I'm never gonna, like, be like, oh, blah, blah. No, I genuinely think it's stupid to have the whole last season be dedicated to their wedding. And I watched it in real time too. Like, I was watching it episode by episode as it was airing. It was the last season. I was a fan. And then I watch every single week for, like, however long it took a season to air. Like, I watched it week by week while pieces of their wedding unfolded, and we got more insights into Tracy and, like, the relationship. We got more attached to Tracy as a person, not just as this concept of the mother. All this buildup where not only are you getting attached to Tracy and her relationship with Ted, it all kind of relates back to the wedding. And then literally, like, it's all rushed in, like, the finale. They get married, Ted meets the mom, and then, like, very rushed, you go through years. Robin and Barney get a divorce, the mom dies, boom, boom, yada, yada. Like, what are you talking about? That's shitty, that's stupid, and it was annoying to watch in real time, and in retrospect, it's still annoying. Those are my thoughts on How I Met Your Mother. I was gonna talk about Reba because I've been rewatching that, but I've been watching it, like, I have not been watching it consistently. How I Met Your Mother is kind of, like, the show I've consistently been watching in my spare time. So I don't know. I think I'm going to wrap up here because I've been talking for, like, a good amount. I think this episode will be a decent length. hopefully at least like 45 minutes. Sorry if it's a little bit shorter than normal. Next week should be a good length because I am going to in detail recap and review Bachelor Pad starting with season one. I'm going to do a few episodes at a time. I haven't figured it out, but the next episode will be labeled like Bachelor Pad season one, episodes one through whatever. So tune in for that if you're interested in my thoughts on Bachelor Pad. If there are any other shows that you would like to hear my thoughts on, let me know. Wait, before I wrap up, actually, I did really briefly want to talk about the movie Time Cut. I typically review TV, but I did watch that movie on Netflix and I really, really liked it. My sister recommended it to me. I wanted to watch something on Halloween that was like spooky. And originally I was like, let me watch Totally Killer, which was on Amazon Prime like last year. Maybe it came out early this year. No, I think it was last year. Yeah, it was last year. And I really, really loved Totally Killer. Like, it was so good. But I unfortunately do not have Amazon Prime. And my mom was asleep. So I was like, I'm not going to bother her to like get her Amazon Prime login. So my sister was like, it's time travel movie. So I watched that instead. And I really liked it. I tend to not like time travel movies are somewhat interesting, but they always kind of bother me because I think it would be like a nightmare to live through one. But once I was able to be like, this is not my life, this is just fiction, and like view it as like, you know, storytelling, like I'm never gonna live through this, I really liked it. And I enjoyed the execution. I liked the ending. I liked it. I really do recommend it. I know a lot of people were clowning on, like, it took place in 2003, and a lot of people were clowning on the fact that it, like, really didn't look like 2003, and, like, yeah, I don't really care about that. I forgot that she was, I will say it's a little bit, like, interesting. Totally Killer went back, like, farther than that. Like, this was just, like, it went back 20 years, which is still far, but, like, less so. But I really liked it. I would recommend it. It wasn't like too scary or anything. It was a pretty easy, like it wasn't like scary or anything, but obviously people die, but really not like a very spooky movie. I just wanted to watch something kind of Halloween related. Anyways, I did want to mention that very quickly because I really enjoyed it and I do recommend it. How I Met Your Mother, I don't really recommend it, but I do recommend Time Cut. Fun movie. Watch it with your mom. Watch it with your older sister. Starting next week, I will have detailed recaps on Bachelor Pad season one, a few episodes at a time. And if you enjoy this episode, please feel free to follow me wherever you listen to podcasts so you can get notified when I upload a new episode. And thank you so much for tuning in. It means a lot. And I hope you have a great week. Happy daylight savings.